The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to The Elder Wand, a Harry Potter podcast. I'm Matt.
And I am Ezra, aka Professor Kirk. Welcome to our Harry Potter book club. Today, we are covering The Sorcerer's Stone, Part 1, Chapters 1 through 3. But before we do all of that, welcome, friends. Get your wands ready. I don't care if you're rolling with dragon heartstring, unicorn hair, phoenix feather, nasal whiskers. Wands at the ready, baby. Matt, how's it going?
It's great. As you know, here we go, about to embark on another journey. Friends, welcome. You know, it feels great talking Harry Potter. Okay, so I'm sure a lot of you guys know, if you're listening here for the first time, Ez and I also do a handful of other podcasts. We do Game of Thrones, we do Star Wars, Wheel of Time, but now the time has come for us to dive into the wizarding world.
Man, I am so pumped because I remember being on the beach when Matt was finishing the final book and reading through the books. Remember on Cannon Beach? I remember reading these in school. I remember listening to the audiobook more than 7 times. Like the whole way, like I loved these books. They're a nice, easy read. They take you to a peaceful kind of like just a nice feel going to school, and you get to go in, cast some spells, make some friends. Hopefully the Hufflepuffs win the house cup. They never do, but I keep rooting for them. You know, it's just, it's a great place to be. I freaking love Hogwarts and I love the wizarding world. It's just awesome.
Yeah, it is, Ez. You know, and everybody's Harry Potter experience is different and unique, but at the end of the day, we all just love it. And it's awesome that we all get to, you know, come on here, talk about it, share, you know, it, and like it's all impacted us in totally different ways, which is awesome and great. And it's still just such a beloved book series. And my gosh, man, you know, people have asked us before, when are you guys going to cover Harry Potter? I wish you started a Harry Potter podcast. And it's like, okay, yeah. Well, I guess the time is now, right? I guess we're going to dive into it now. We're going to be going through the books, the movies. You know, there's more movies coming out. There's potentially a show, right? HBO Max show coming, and a big video game coming down the pipe as well. So, yeah, it's going to be great to finally dive in and talk about it, go through the books.
Well, okay, here's the thing. So I often talk with my girlfriend about Harry Potter and just like things that are interesting in the series, things that I still think people I don't know that I'm sitting there going like, I don't know that anybody's ever talked about this. And I kind of want to like talk with Matt about it. I want to like share some of these things. Like there's things about the Dursleys that I want to mention, right? There's stuff about the Elder Wand we still need to talk about. I mean, we're going like Secrets of Dumbledore is a thing that's coming out. Like the Elder Wand's a big freaking deal. Okay. Wand lore is still interesting. I am just there's so much. Professor Lockhart, I still want to know, how's he doing? Is he alive?
I hope he's okay.
I hope he's all right.
I love him.
I did too.
I think he's great. I know he's one of these characters. He just shows up and then he does show up again at the very end. And I guess we should say, by the way, this is a reread. This is a reread for us, obviously going to be a reread for everybody else. But so, you know, there are obviously going to be potential spoilers for anybody who is listening here for the first time, but we're going to be doing at sort of a decent pace, I would say. We're gonna be doing, it just depends on each book. We plan on trying to do about 7 episodes, with the 7th episode being the movie. It's obviously going to change for the final book since it has 2 movies. So some are going to be sort of shorter, some will be longer, but gonna be a pretty decent pace. And I don't know that we will really dive too far into spoilers, so you know, you could probably I don't know. We'll just kind of get to keep it there. We're usually pretty good in some of the other things we cover at kind of just sticking just to that sort of chapter without trying diving necessarily too far into spoilers. So,
and if we do, Matt, we'll say it. We'll say ahead of time, like, you got a thought on your mind. We're going to jump, you know, we're going to grab a port key. We're going to take off, you know, and jump in the flu network, travel somewhere else
or apparate, right?
Unless we're in Hogwarts, right? Unless
I don't know. Are we talking about the movies? Or are we talking about the books?
I don't know.
There's a little difference,
right? Yeah, exactly. And I think we like both. There's power in both. But what I thought would be kind of cool, okay? Because we like this. We have our profiles pulled up. I thought we would just talk a little bit about, you know, who we are quickly before we dive into this first part one, and just, you know, your wand, your house, all that good stuff, because you're gonna be able to tell pretty quickly, like, whether almost we couldn't tell anybody our houses. And I think by the end of this first, you know, part, people will be able to quickly figure out which house Matt is in, specifically Matt. I'm gonna throw a little like I'll let you say which house you're in here in a second, but I mean, it's the one we all don't like. All right. So,
wow. That might be just a little unnecessary. No,
I know.
I'll go first. Okay. I think you can give me the screen share here.
Uh-huh.
Or
yes, sir.
Click on it. Okay. So, yeah. First of all, by the way, man, I got to say, I logged back into this many years ago, probably about 5 years ago when it was still Pottermore. And now it is Wizarding World, but hey, logged right in, everything worked, so it's pretty cool. So some things have changed on it, and now you're going to pick your favorites, and I guess you get sort of a profile here. So favorite character, okay, and we're probably about to lose half our listeners right here. For me, it's Snape.
Let's go.
And we can talk more about that as we dive into it, but I think he's sort of underrated. I think he's overlooked. I just love Alan Rickman, and so I think that plays a big part into it. And I don't know why. I've just always been a Snape fan.
I think it's fine. You know, Harry Potter was a fan right at the very end. Okay, so I think it's fine, my friend. It's cool. Interesting character. That's the whole thing, right? Is he good? Is he bad? The whole series is about, you know.
Exactly. Then you get your favorite spell, which I was going to pick Avada Kedavra, but they didn't have it, so I picked Second Sephiroth. Okay. So I picked Sectum Sceptra. I mean, it's so cool. If Snape makes his own spells, it's part of the reason I like him, right? And then Harry uses it and he's like, wow, this is pretty powerful. Places to go. I picked Gringotts because I think it's cool, man.
Yeah.
They're hanging out. It's this big bank. It's got all these tunnels going through it. And it's just not, we go there. You know, it's one of the places we'll go to. Not in this episode, but in our next episode. And then we really go back at the end and it's like, wow, it's pretty crazy. Everything that's going on there. And it's a place I wish that we had explored more in the books. Then you get your beast and beings. I picked a dragon. I mean, it's a dragon. What more do you want? They're super cool. Yeah. Hagrid wants one. Everyone wants one.
Yeah.
They're sort of cool. Now this, I have to say, in all honesty, who's your favorite Quidditch team? I gotta say, I guess I don't know, it's not the Quidditch teams is not something I really paid a lot of attention to. I will dive into that. I will dig deeper. So I picked the Foulmouth Falcons. Sounded cool.
Yeah, sounds cool.
But again, I'm sort of unfamiliar there. Then you get to objects and food, wand. Obviously.
I mean,
how could you want anything other than a wand?
Yep. All right. I like it. Okay. All right, friends, let me click off here. By the way, you can join us over on YouTube. We have a video version of the podcast over there for you guys where we're going to clip up and stuff as well. So we'll put a link to that in the description. You can click on it and see the screen share, all that good stuff here. So here we go. Let me share some of my favorites with you guys. So my favorite character, McGonagall, Professor McGonagall. Matt, I think she's like one of the most powerful witches in the whole thing, like ever possibly. I think she's just awesome. You know what I mean? The stuff she can do in Transfiguration and just the dueling with Snape and some of the different things. I just think she's super cool.
You had a cat named Professor McGonagall.
I did. I used to have a cat, a black cat named Professor McGonagall. May she rest in peace. But I love that cat. I love that cat, man. It was Professor or Professor McGonagall, and she came over every time I said her name, and I loved it. It was so cool because when I got that cat, like, it reminded me a little bit of, you know, the opening chapter here, and then watching the movie, and I just thought, wow, that's Professor McGonagall right there. So, yeah, let me bounce back over here. Next up, my spell of choice is Stupefy. It just sounds funny to me, and it's also just that classic stunning spell, and I'm like, let's go. Places, Ollivanders. Who doesn't like going to Ollivanders? And it's where you get your wand, right? It's where you go, and the wand chooses the wizard, the whole experience. I just think it's such a cool scene in the movie. They do a really good job there.
Right. John Hurt's lighting too, so.
Oh, man, it was just so good. His voice and Harry coming in there like, what is this all about? And I've been down to Universal, and just the whole ceremony they have down there as well is really freaking cool. So Ollivanders is just a whole experience, and I think it's awesome. So let's see. Beast or being, I picked a Neasel, and I mentioned Neasel Whiskers being like a possible core for your wand. I didn't know that until I started kind of looking into some of these things, and I'm like, let's go. That's like Hermione's cat or whatever, right? I think it's a Neasel, technically, a Crookshanks, but I might be wrong about that. Anyways, there's something special about that particular cat. Neasels are cool. I think they're cool. Here we go. Next up, we have the Hollyhead Harpies for my Quidditch team. The only reason I chose this was, I believe, and I could be wrong, I think Slughorn was a fan, Professor. I think it's mentioned, gosh, I can't remember when, but it's an all-female Quidditch team. They played in the British and Irish Quidditch League. Yeah, so I think he said he had season tickets. Let me see here. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, there it is. So one of the beaters was a member of the Slug Club at Hogwarts and gave Horace Slughorn free tickets to any game upon request. And I like Horace Slughorn. I've always thought he was an interesting choice to come in as potions master. Harry goes out and the whole thing. And so he mentions the Hollyhead Harpies, and I'm like, all right, that's what I got. And to finish it all off for me, I've just got the object that I picked. Matt picked a wand. I picked Elder Wand. I think the choices were whatever wand. Yeah. So Elder Wand's where it's at, man. So, cool.
Hey, it's the thing. Absolutely. That's why we're here, is the Elder Wand, my friend. That's what we're here. And that's what we're talking about.
Yeah. Also, we'll go a step further here. So, I am a Hufflepuff, in case I mentioned to try to slip that in there at the beginning. So sorted, I was sorted years ago. The sorting hat, Matt, I put it on, and I kind of always knew, even that watching. I just have always known. I don't know. I found myself reading the books and watching the film saying things like Diggory, 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 right? I mean, that's just who I was rooting for. I liked Sed. He's my guy. And also, I just feel like I kind of fit in with that group. And so, yeah, Hufflepuff for me.
Hey, there you go. LeBron James is Hufflepuff.
Let's go. So,
let's go. All right. So Cedric Diggory, you know, I mean, there you go. And he's Batman.
Edward Cullen.
So that exactly. He's
Batman. Sorry. You went with Batman. I went with Edward Cullen. What's going on?
Well, I mean, they're both kind of bat related, really. You know, Batman.
Yeah, they are.
And then He's a vampire. Yeah, vampire. And then, you know, it all kind of works. And then in Space Jam, where LeBron says he's a Hufflepuff, he, when he goes to the DC world, he's Batman. So Batman's, wow, it sounds to me like Batman's a Hufflepuff.
Yeah, it does.
Which does not seem correct. But
yeah, he's the hardworking superhero. All right.
But there you go. So, yeah. Okay, as well, I think after that, we could dive into the chapters. We have anything else we want to?
Just in case you guys didn't pick up, I mentioned, I think people are assuming they know your house because I kind of dissed on you.
Okay. Sorry. I'm a That's Slytherin. Fine. I thought I said that. I apologize. Yes.
Yeah. I want it to be clear up front. Okay. This is who you're dealing with.
Well, you know what? We don't necessarily get to it in this week's chapter, but in next episode, I should say.
Yeah.
You know, Hagrid says some things that are incorrect about Slytherin, my friend. He says that nobody that's ever been bad came from, you know, anything other than Slytherin. And that is not correct.
Yeah. Okay.
There's some bad folks that come from even Gryffindor.
Absolutely.
So we can say, and you know what? Merlin was a Slytherin. So
holy smokes. Merlin's beard. Wow.
Exactly. So,
wow.
Right. So there we go. Okay. So let's go ahead and dive into it, my friend. Chapter one, basically where it all begins. Okay. The boy who lived. The Dursleys of 4 Privet Drive live a perfectly normal life together until one gray Tuesday in November of 1981. On his way to work that day, Vernon Dursley notices a stern-looking cat watching his house. He also sees people in the streets dressed in cloaks and whispering about the Potters. After watching the news and learning about sightings of shooting stars and owls, Vernon asks his wife Petunia about her sister, Lily Potter. Vernon goes to bed believing that if the Potters are involved in the strange things happening, it won't affect him. After midnight, Albus Dumbledore arrives and meets Professor McGonagall, who has transformed from her cat form. They discuss the events of the past night. Dumbledore confirms that Voldemort murdered James and Lily Potter, but was destroyed when he tried to kill their son, Harry. Hagrid arrives on a flying motorbike with a baby, Harry. Despite protests from McGonagall, Dumbledore leaves Harry on the doorstep of the Dursleys, who are Harry's only living relatives.
Yeah, it's an interesting setup here. Thrust into to this magical world we don't know it's magical yet, right? I mean, it's something's odd, according to Mr. Dursley, and things just don't seem right. We got owls flying around. The weather's weird. People wearing weird cloaks walking around talking about somebody named Potter. Was it Harold? Maybe. I can remember the part where he's like wondering what was his nephew's name. Like, come on. They really disconnected. I mean,
they really, just very, very, very disconnected. Yeah. I even like the phrase here. Okay. So very early on, right. You know, they're setting up the stage that the Dursleys are sort of as distant from the wizarding world, which we will get into. They are like, not only are they sort of in, compared to the wizarding world, normal or muggle-ish, if you want to call it that way. But I would say that even in our world, they are like very sort of, you could almost use the word uptight, I suppose, right? You know, like the Dursleys had everything they ever wanted, but they also had a secret, and their greatest fear was that somebody would discover it. They didn't want, you know, they didn't think they could bear if anyone found out about the Potters. Mrs. Potter was Mrs. Dursley's sister, but they hadn't met for several years. In fact, Mrs. Dursley pretended she didn't have a sister because her sister was a good for nothing. Her sister and her good for nothing husband were as un-Dursley-ish as it was possible to be.
Which is interesting. Okay, so here's just a quick, sorry, it's going to be a little bit of a tangent, but they talk a lot about Petunia and the taking care of the yard and being nosy and looking over the hedge to kind of see what's going on. I have a neighbor at my dad's house across the way, swear to you that, and I've talked to them about this and they both have laughed. They think it's hilarious and that it's actually not the first time they've gotten this, but they remind me in a good way of the Dursleys. The yard is pristine. They look similar. They got that similar kind of, like, as they're described here in the books, one tall, shorter, you know, the hair, the you know, all that good stuff. It is literally hysterical. They're out there all the time. Just everything looks super good and tidy. My dad's always kind of comparing his yard to their yard. Like, well, I got to keep up with, and I would almost fill in the blank, the Dursleys. Yep. You got to keep up with them because they're on it over there. That's the kind of people they are, right? In the neighborhood, things have to look pristine. It's got to look well-kept, and then nothing odd, right? We don't want to stand out. We don't want to be weird or whatever. And the fact that Petunia has a sister, I mean, what do you think when Vernon finds out about that? Like, what's he getting himself into?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it is interesting that we, you know, don't really ever get to see that. The sort of, yeah, imagine what he would have thought. And right. I sort of wonder, you know, if it seems like, you know, you go back to what are you wondering, like what their sort of youth would have been like. Mm-hmm. Right. Because mm-hmm. I feel like potentially, you know, obviously possible spoilers here towards the very, very, very end. So tune out for a quick second. Obviously, when you get to sort of some of the stuff that happens in the final book, right? And we learn a little bit more about actually what she knows. It makes it actually seem very much like a lot of this sort of sense of normality and everything, and even in the human world, comes from him.
Yeah.
And I feel like she, you know, probably being slighted by her sister, mm-hmm. would have been seeking that sort of like ultra normality type of life. And so I think that's probably where that may have came from. Cause he seems like he's the one who kind of runs the show that way, to say the least.
Yeah, no, that's actually, I get that, because there was a moment when we were reading this when and we're talking about the first three chapters. I know we're just on chapter one here, but there's a moment in this batch of chapters where when the letter shows up, she's kind of like, what should we do? Right. And it's almost like she could turn right there and say, this is exciting. Do we embrace this? Is this her now nephew who could go to Hogwarts? And this is like, you know, part of her family. And she's then kind of like, she's his aunt, but like motherly right. figure who has to be his guardian and send him off. Or does Vernon step in and say, no, we swore we put an end to this. We're not going to have anything to do with that community. And that's something we agreed to. It sounds like maybe they had a conversation and it wasn't always. Yeah.
That, like
right. It could have gone a different way.
Yeah, exactly. I do think there certainly is the possibility that she might have been slightly more sort of open to it, feeling the sense of sort of need or whatever. And he's the one who's like, no, we'll stamp this out, which, you know, I always try to sort of give people like the benefit of the
doubt. Go ahead.
Right. I mean, that obviously does not. I mean, obviously they're total jerks, and what they're doing literally would be looked into by like child services, like forcing a kid to live like under the steps. Yes, obviously they're total jerks, and that just sort of is it is what it is. And that, I mean, you're talking about like, I don't know what the negligence or, you know, whatever. I mean,
right.
He would probably literally be removed from that house So. Yes, what they're doing to him is not only sort of cruel, but it, like, I would even say probably even unethical as it goes to sort of that level. But at the same time, I mean, I guess I could possibly see when Harry shows up and it's like, what do you do? Because no matter what was explained to them in that moment, they would have no ideas how to sort of understand that, and it would just seem scary and frightening.
So here's the thing. Imagine a life where like the Dursleys don't get Harry Potter and they just go about their lives. I don't think people would look at them in the same way that they do. It's because it's less about Harry himself as a boy. It's more about what he represents, I think, sometimes, like that magical community and that oddness and that weirdness that they were so deathly afraid of. And they wanted to just be normal and fit in and belong somewhere, right? Petunia doesn't fit. She doesn't get to be, air quote, special and go off and do whatever. Honestly, I almost started this whole podcast with Muggles and Squibs matter. Yes. They matter. Like squibs are super kind of like put. Mrs. Fig is awesome.
Right.
You know, now Filch is another thing. But like it's still, there's something. She was close to that, and she didn't have that gift or ability and feels inferior. And then, you know, so now you kind of cling on desperately, like you're saying, to normalcy. And then, boom, here comes Harry Potter. Not saying they handled it right at all, but I'm just saying.
I think also you'd find yourself in a situation where, and I just, this is just such an easy comparison to me because you've seen it. We've obviously seen it as well. But anything, like if you think about like Superman, right? Or, I mean, if you could really sort of look at, I think, any sort of comic that involves like a young kid learning their superpowers, how do you explain that? When something happens, right? Like we know, obviously, Harry gets upset and then he'll end up using magic. What do you do if Harry goes to school and he uses magic and not even knowing that that's what he's doing because he doesn't, but you sort of know that he is using it and then things keep happening, then eventually, you know, people would start asking questions and looking more. And then in a way, even as sort of twisted and cruel in the way they're doing it, I think to some level, they probably are trying to protect him. I mean, again, they're still totally super cruel and not that, but I would say to some level, they did at least keep him from sort of exposing what he potentially is capable of.
And I'm sorry, I can't help but jump around in the series sometimes, so sorry, we're gonna take a port key and bounce around, because I think about like Tom Riddle being in that freaking orphanage and like when you remember the there's a whole part where in which he children got hurt because of his abilities. Harry has abilities. He's most of the time he's running from bullies and jumping on roofs, and his hair is coming back, you know. Every time they try to comb it, it just does its own thing, and then magically it comes back and all that kind of stuff. But could it have been a lot worse? Maybe something happened when he was little and they're really trying to say, oh my gosh, this could be dangerous. Like, who knows? We don't get all those details. We just know that the Dursleys are who they are, and he's in, you know, Mr. Dursley's into drills and they like watching the news. This like their things to be normal, and they're living with a secret, a huge secret, that there's a magical wizarding world. And they don't want anyone on their road or anyone in their lives to know about this. And it's
right. I wonder also how many children, right, that we like don't, obviously we hear about Harry's sort of upbringing, but even kids who are
Hermione,
you know, exactly. Like, you know, like what did Hermione do things as a kid that would have been magical that she didn't know? Right. Are you just, or so obviously there are people who are, you know, first, you know, the first in their line that is able to use magic. And so I wonder if, and it's never really explained or stated, but I wonder what would be the case of if somebody is to step in and sort of like say something, you know what I mean? Like, does the Ministry of Magic basically, I feel like you would almost have to, because you still need to sort of, you would still need to sort of protect this,
because
this wizarding world that is a secret to everybody, really, even though we do see them out in, you know, the streets and stuff like that, because obviously, you know, we know that happens. But so, you know, I sometimes think about that too, is like, I'm sure there are times where Hermione got angry as a kid and used magic without really realizing it, but then I think there's probably some people who never use magic, and then it's not until Hogwarts says, hey, you should come to Hogwarts wizarding school, and then it's like, wait, what? And then like, how do they explain that to the parents? I mean, then somebody just shows up and they're like, oh yeah, your kid can use magic, and then they would of course obviously have to show them magic and say this is like a thing. So I think that's why most of it is obviously going to be kids who are both, you know, you have your pure-blooded, right?
I was waiting for you to say
something. I don't want to, you know.
I know. No, it's so funny. Matt totally skirted around the whole, first generation, right? First generation. named it well.
Well, I mean, it's kind of a derogatory term, really.
I wouldn't use it. I know. I wasn't saying that. I just thought it was kind of interesting. I'm just grinning over here on the podcast. No, I think it's interesting, though. You're right. Like, there's the underage. You know, you can't do magic underage, all that kind of stuff. Even once they've learned it and they've gone to Hogwarts, that's definitely important. But as these things happen, you wonder, they've got a department at the Ministry of Magic to go around and kind of manage these things for a while. But if it's pretty obvious, you'd think there'd be a conversation with the parents. The parents are like, especially if, like in Hermione's case, what are you going to do? Your kid can do magic, and they've not been taught it, but to some degree, if they're angry, they can use it. I mean, Harry just gets angry. I know he's actually been to Hogwarts a little bit, but he blows up his aunt, right? I mean, in this chapter, he's doing stuff like growing his hair back and jumping up on roofs and stuff. Right. So who knows what else he could do, or other Dean or Hermione or others who grew up like this. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know that it never really explores this, but I think a decent sort of comparison to that would be like X-Men, right? Like if you're familiar at all with, if any people are listening are sort of familiar with the X-Men comics, right? Movies and everything like that too, where it's kind of like oftentimes you see these when they're doing the backstories on the characters, is like they grew up as mutants and then they have powers and stuff like that, and they're always trying to hide them and stuff like that, but the world knows that these mutants exist, and so you certainly don't want to get labeled as one and stuff like that. And then you have a professor Xavier, right, who goes out and helps find these people, and you know, all of these things. And I mean, obviously X-Men was written in like the 1960s and stuff like that, so I don't know that it's ever been stated, but I mean, a lot of it is sort of a little bit, I guess, in some way comparable. I don't know that if that was ever an inspiration for it or not.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the point is that's interesting. It's a good connection. It's just interesting what the Dursleys have to deal with, and how they dealt with it is not what we're talking about. It's just that, what would you do? This boy's dropped in your lap, and he's doing things you don't understand, and no one else knows about wizards and the wizarding world. That's a secret. It's a big freaking secret, and they've got to keep it, and they know they have to keep it. So I just think it's something to kind of think about. Yeah. I want to jump to something that was, I thought, kind of funny in this mm-hmm. chapter.
In chapter one. Yeah.
Yeah. In this first one. So when Mr. Dursley goes back and he's talking about, let me see here. And finally, the bird watchers everywhere have reported that he's watching the news, right? The nation's owls have been behaving very unusually today. And the experts, they can't explain why. Sudden change in their sleeping pattern, right? The newscaster allowed himself a grin. Most mysterious. Now over to Jim McGuffin with the weather. Jim McGuffin. there's going to be more showers of owls, or are there going to be any more showers of owls tonight, Jim? Well, Ted, said the weatherman, I don't know about that, but it's not only the owls that have been acting out today. Viewers as far apart as Kent, Yorkshire, Dundee have been phoning in telling me that instead of rain, the rain that I promised yesterday, they've seen a downpour of shooting stars. Perhaps people have been celebrating bonfire night early. It's not until next week, folks, but I can promise a wet night tonight. And I just thought it was interesting that I think that he says that a wet night coming tonight, and it's not, like, he's wrong again. I just kind of wanted to point out that I'm pretty sure the weatherman is wrong again. I thought that was kind of funny because Dumbledore shows up and they mention the night that's not raining at all. So I'm like, okay, kind of funny.
Yeah, I think in the movie, though, it looks like maybe it had been raining, but it's not. It's nothing. It's just dark, so you don't really see.
Good point, no, though. It did look like it had been raining a little.
But it's also just dark, street. and it's also England, where it rains literally all the time. So So I don't know that it does specifically say
one point.
So there is, So there is a moment before where Mr. Dursley, right, is met by a wizard, right? Sorry, he grunted as the old tiny man stumbled and almost fell. It was a few seconds before Mr. Dursley realized that the man was wearing a violet cloak. He didn't seem at all upset at being almost knocked to the ground. On the contrary, his face split into a wide smile, and he said in a squeaky voice that made passerby stare. Don't be sorry, my dear sir, for nothing could upset me today. Rejoice, for you know who has gone at last. Even muggles like yourself should be celebrating this happy, happy day. And I know this man is like in an overwhelming state of joy because obviously Voldemort's gone. But, you know, it's like, how would Vernon Dursley know who at all what he's talking about? Now, it's of course just foreshadowing as to what's coming, but it is just kind of interesting. It's like he wouldn't know anything about what this guy's talking about.
Yeah, that is interesting, right? And also, hey, buddy, rein it in together. It's what McGonagall says later on. Like, look, the muggles are going to know something's up here. It's all over the news.
Exactly.
Like, get it together. All right. Look, the crazy thing is it's we, the reader, get this vibe, this feel. It's so weird to kind of think about this. But the night prior to this, two nights, whatever you want to say, a week prior, Lord Voldemort is at his, like, or yeah. should I say he who must not be? I don't know what I'm supposed to say.
No, you can say it. I'm all not right, scared.
I ain't afraid. We got the Elder One. So, you know, it's like he's at the height of his power doing his thing. They've got charms over at Godric's Hollow. They're trying to hide stuff. They're trying to hide people. There's a prophecy made. Like, the war is going on. And it's just crazy to think that when we start all of this, that had just been going on. And it's awful. And so to see McGonagall and Dumbledore, you know, kind of interacting, talking about things, happy, but yet sad, knowing the details, the cost at which this great victory came. It's so bittersweet. You know, it's a sad moment. Everyone is celebrating, right? Everyone is celebrating, but these two individuals and Hagrid and maybe a handful of others sort of know the intimate details here of, I mean, I guess it seems like the rumor is out that it was that Lily and James had been killed and their son had something to do with it, because McGonagall says that, but just they're the ones overseeing his care and moving him to a safe location where Dumbledore understands the protection of blood and his family. And I just think it's just kind of I don't know. It's a cool start to this story, but at the same time, there's such a story before this. There's so much that went on.
Absolutely.
And you're like, what was the day in and day out with Dumbledore at Hogwarts? The kids who are at Hogwarts right now, or like just prior to this, I should say, that year prior, what was their lives like when Voldemort was doing his thing in power? Crazy.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll get a movie about it at some point, right?
God, I hope so.
Right, I don't know. We're getting more books about it, but certainly getting some more books. Okay, so here we go. Okay, so the rest of the chapter is basically the conversation, right, between Hagrid, Dumbledore, and McGonagall as they're standing there about to sort of drop Harry off, essentially, and decide to give it to. This is the reason why we're doing it. You do have the interesting back and forth between McGonagall and Dumbledore about, you know, Voldemort, and McGonagall doesn't even want to say his name, right? Mm-hmm. McGonagall doesn't feel right, of course, to say his name. And we get this sort of you know who, which is interesting because we had somebody else say, you know who is dead, and then we get this sort of all right, Voldemort. And then she says, talking about like Dumbledore says, like, I've never seen any reason to be frightened by his name.
Let's go.
Yeah. And so immediately you also sort of if you're reading this for the first time, you're like, all right, well, this Dumbledore guy is pretty legit.
Yeah. He ain't afraid. I mean, that's that is a pretty powerful moment. Yeah. Like,
right.
And then McGonagall, interesting point there. She goes on to compliment him, right, and to really lift him up as headmaster and so on, and that he's the only one that Voldemort was afraid of Dumbledore. Like, Dumbledore is that one guy, and I think that's always been really cool. It's why I'm super excited about the Secrets of Dumbledore and the whole backstory and everything leading up to his big moment and all of his discoveries and the Wizarding War that we're going to see in that series, because Dumbledore is awesome. I mean, he does get, power hungry. He's got his past. He's got a dark past. And we know there's books written about him and whatever, and his seeking of power after his parents die and so on. But it is just interesting that he is revered, and he should be, because he is your boy Snape says it all the time. Dumbledore, he is a great wizard. He says that. He's a great wizard, and he's right. Don't mess with him.
Absolutely. So we continue on a little bit here, and this is where they're talking about, like, what actually happens, right? Everyone's saying the rumors and all of these things. So, I mean, McGonagall doesn't know at this point that Lily and James Potter are dead.
She's just heard the rumor. Yeah.
She's just heard it. She's just heard it. I can't, Lillian James, I can't believe it. I didn't want to believe it. You know, are the rumors true? Dumbledore reach out, pats her on the shoulder. I know. You know, they're saying they tried to kill the Potter's son, Harry, but he couldn't. So also in this moment, Professor McGonagall is really learning this for the first time, like Dumbledore says, hey, obviously must have said, I need you to come meet me here at this sort of exact spot. So really, it seems like the only people he really wants to know is McGonagall and Hagrid. This is like a little circle of trust here.
Right. Yeah, he does. And again, I think we find out later that that she is the, you know, deputy headmistress, and she's kind of like your second in command, which is pretty cool. And I think she does say, I don't know, I think it says at some point that she learned some of this too, because he does say, oh, something about seeing her there, like, I'm not surprised to see you here, kind of like she learned it from Hagrid, I think, or something. I don't know. But regardless, like, actually, Matt, what I thought was interesting is that it almost seems like Dumbledore trusts Hagrid more than he trusted McGonagall, which I'm sort of like, hold everything here. Just hold on a second. But I mean, I trust Hagrid too. I know you're critical. Well, sorry, I shouldn't say anything yet. We'll get to Hagrid's part to play here later. But
yeah, he says for some reason the sight of a cat seemed to amuse him. He chuckled and muttered, "I should have known." He found what he was looking for inside his pocket, which is the
Illuminator. Right? Yeah,
the Illuminator. Where he pulls all the lights out. Let me see. Fancy seeing you here, Professor McGonagall. So she's just there.
Yeah, she suspects. Yeah.
Yes, so, correct by that. Yes, I just wanted to make sure. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone's out celebrating. Yeah, she's like, I heard it. Flocks of owls, shooting stars. Yeah, all that good stuff. Let me scroll on down here. Where did she say that at? It was coming up here. Yeah, I suppose he really has gone, Dumbledore, ? It certainly seems so, said Dumbledore. We have much to be thankful for. Would you care for a lemon drop? A what? A lemon drop. They're a kind of muggle sweet I'm rather fond of. Dumbledore, what is going on? Like, tell McGonagall what's happening here. No, thank you. As I say, even if you know who has gone, my dear professor, surely, right? And it goes on, they use the name and whatnot. A lot of flattery back and forth here. It's on down here. I think it was. Yeah. After all he's done, all the people he's killed, he couldn't kill a little boy. It's just astounding. And all of the things to stop him. But how in the name of heaven did Harry survive? We can only guess, said Dumbledore. We may never know. Professor McGonagall pulled out her handkerchief. She's dabbing her eyes. And Dumbledore gave a great sniff as he took a golden watch from his pocket and examined it. Again, he's waiting for Hagrid to show up here. I'm pretty sure it was Hagrid who let this slip out.
I'm sure it is too. You know, what's interesting. I'm looking just a little bit further. Yeah. Yeah. Obviously. Yeah. Correction. Yeah. So obviously McGonagall did not know that he's doing here. So what is McGonagall doing there though? I mean, because she's like, I've been watching these people all day. Dumbledore doesn't know she's there. Unless maybe he does, and he's just sort of acting like he's surprised to find her there. So what exactly was she doing there? Because she's like, I've been watching these people all day. You can't mean to give them to these people. So is she just on that street per chance?
No, I think she tracked him down. I think Hagrid, or again, I was trying to scroll and find that, but it's she determines that this is what's happening, that the rumor is true, because she says it all, like, Lily and James have been killed and that it was something to do with the Potter boy. Well, how does she know that? Well, Dumbledore was there first with Hagrid. They get it all arranged. She maybe shows up or it you know, hears about it. And then she's bouncing over to see, okay, who, maybe Dumbledore says, like, the plan is to bring him here to Privet Drive and put him with his aunt. So she's like, let me go check on this, because she's kind of arguing, should he, you know, they're the worst sort of muggles.
Exactly.
Why? Right.
He could grow up in our world as a legend.
Yeah. Right.
Ultimately Hagrid shows up on his motorcycle, and then, you know, we they ultimately just end up leaving him here. So I guess a few questions before we move on to the next chapter here. As one, of course, the obvious question, was this the right thing to do to leave him with the Dursleys? And well, we'll just start there, and then I'll move on to the second one afterwards. Was it the right thing?
Well, I mean, clearly Dumbledore knows a lot about magic. Good. I mean, Merlin's beard. He knows a lot about magic, because the big thing here is that he understands. He says right here that he doesn't quite know. We can only guess as to why it was that Harry survived, the boy who lived. But I think he knows. I think he has a suspicion. Normally, his suspicions or his guesses or his ideas are correct. Like he ultimately kind of figures out what's up, and he's right a lot of times. So I feel like he understands the importance of family and blood. And so he can put, there's magic in that and what Lily Potter did for Harry. And so the best place for him to go here is with they said it's his only family. I think if they had right. another option, they would have went somewhere else for sure. But this is all he had. And it's that powerful magic, because they it's still a question. Is he really gone? Did he really go? And now that part, I think Dumbledore is sort of like, it appears that way. He doesn't know about Horcruxes and so on, all that kind of stuff just yet. They're just fighting him. They think Dumbledore just thinks, I got to fight, you know, the Dark Lord, Voldemort. And now that he's gone, we see this whole backup plan kind of go into motion. And so Dumbledore is going to figure that out later. But yeah, to me, it feels like this was his play here was to protect Harry. And also, he didn't want him to grow up in this world where he would be famous and all that kind of stuff. Now, if it wasn't for the protection piece, I can see why people would say, McGonagall just told you they're the worst sort of muggles, and she cares, and they're really bad. And I think even after watching them for a year or two, or a check-in, you might say, maybe he should go somewhere else. But you know, the other thing, Matt, is that if he wasn't a wizard, and he was just a regular muggle boy, who would he go to? Probably would go to his aunt.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of like that almost makes the most sense. If they don't want him, then that's something he could go to the state or whatever. But
right. I mean, the obvious other place he could go is to Sirius.
Yeah. Oh, my. Well, but, you know, yeah, it's shortly. Yeah.
I mean,
if Sirius doesn't, you know, go off and go crazy. Well, you know, the whole situation between him and Pettigrew happens. But you're right. Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, if that doesn't happen, that he right now he could.
Yeah.
Good.
That's a good point. So before all that happens, you know, it's again, Hagrid is lent the flying motorcycle, right? Why aren't they talking to wait, it was Sirius, I think. Hold on. Let me go back here. Someone send us a freaking owl. Who told McGonagall? Anyway. Yeah, but anyways, I think Sirius could have been right. Someone that Harry was given over to, if he's not rushing over to, because right now he's still in good stand. I mean, he hasn't done anything. You know, he's still a friend, and it's sort of like he knows who the secret keeper was, and they understand who held the secret. And he's going to go after that individual. But
yeah,
that's a good question, though.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, Sirius offers to take Harry himself as he was the chosen guardian in the event. However, Hagrid told him that Dumbledore had made arrangements to send him to his sisters.
Jay-Z cow.
And so Sirius wanted him. And then after that, Sirius, you know, goes down a very dark path. And we'll see him again in book three. But theoretically could have, but Dumbledore decided to go in a different direction. So my other question, though, I think maybe perhaps one of the other reasons that he's doesn't want to do this. So is sort of he would grow up as a legend, right? And he is trying to give him this normal life, because if you grow up as a sort of legend, how could you ever sort of live up to it? Which ultimately, I don't know that it really changes anything, because when he does show up, everybody still kind of views him as this very special, and everyone knows who he is and all of that stuff. So I guess it doesn't, I don't know that, but I guess your early years, right? You wouldn't have that. But also if you do grow up in that world, perhaps people might start to become nervous or wary of you. I think rumors could spread that, wait a second, this guy potentially killed Voldemort. How powerful is he? Is he too powerful? I mean, newborn, you know, as a baby, he kills Voldemort. Are we sure this guy isn't something dark with him, or are we sure
this exactly? That's a good point. That already happens. First of all, two things.
It does. Right.
Yeah. It was Hagrid, by the way. I'm going back through here skimming. That was killing me right there. It was Hagrid who told McGonagall. She says yes. But it was like later on when he goes to Hogwarts, abso-freaking-lutely, that is, they're all worried about him. Also, we go to the freaking zoo here and he speaks to snakes. Now, if he's out there with other wizards and witches, they're going to point the finger and say, hey, hold on a second.
Hey, buddy, like, something's up.
Something's up, man. Like, mom, he was out in the garden speaking to this snake straight up, and it looked like he was sicking this snake on me. I mean, that could be trouble. That could be troublesome. I don't know. Is that enough to say that, you know, we got to send him to the Dursleys? I don't know. I get, too, that the fame thing could have really been an issue. I think it's more about the protection on Dumbledore's part, because he clearly went ahead and vetoed the Sirius thing. I didn't know that. That's actually kind of that's crazy when you think about Sirius's story and how different that would have been if he would have just stayed with, you know, Harry, and then Pettigrew gets away and the whole thing. That would have been kind of interesting. But wow, yeah. Good question.
Okay, let's move to chapter 2, The Vanishing Glass, where we are given glances at what Harry's life has been for the past 10 years. The Dursleys celebrate Dudley's 11th birthday with a trip to the zoo. The day goes awry when Harry inadvertently performs magic and releases a boa constrictor from its enclosure. This is one of those scenes that's done in the movie. I think it's done really well. I think it sort of really sums this chapter up in about 3 to 5 minutes, if you just sort of watch it. But yes, obviously, and this chapter is also incredibly short, incredibly interesting. But there are certainly some few interesting things here, right? You know, Harry's having some dreams. You know, he dreams of that he's
the scar. He's thinking about like the green light, and he's wondering. He's told it's a car crash. A car crash, right? I mean, like, freaking Hagrid. I'm sorry, but I've seen the movie so many times, but like, it's ridiculous.
Harry has the dream about the flying motorcycle, right? And then Mr. Dursley freaks out. He's like, motorcycles don't fly.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And he's like, I know they don't. It was only a dream. But you would have to imagine that the Dursleys would know that there is a flying motorcycle. I mean, I guess it depends really on how. We don't really get the interaction of what really went down when they drop him off.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, and they know that magic exists. So like, it's not too,
because they don't know stretch. Because they don't, when in the fourth chapter, which we'll cover in our next episode, when Hagrid shows up, it certainly makes it seem like Hagrid knows who they are, but it doesn't to me appear that Dursleys know who Hagrid is.
Right. It's just that all they have is that letter that when Harry was falling asleep, like he clutches the letter, and he wakes up the next morning to Petunia screaming and woke him up because there's a boy on the front stoop. But there's a letter from Dumbledore with all those instructions on it. So they know Dumbledore, right? They've got a letter from him,
right,
with instructions. And he also knows, Dumbledore knows about Lily Potter and understands Petunia was interested in coming to Hogwarts, and that she knows this world, had a sister.
Do you think they should have done more than a letter? I feel like they should have. Like,
I feel like there should have been a sit down.
It would have been a lot conference. Different. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, come on, Dumbledore. He's a busy man. I get that. But like, yeah, we need a sit down chat here. It actually could have gone a long way for Petunia. That's a really good point. Like,
it's still her sister.
It's still like it honestly, I think, and I know there's some stuff that's communicated in it. I think let me check. They're actually let me go look here real quick. But I think there might have been a bit more actually. And I don't remember exactly when it was, if it was, it wasn't that night. But yeah, I mean, it just, you know, what was that enough? So your point was that when he shows up, Hagrid is sort of like, yeah, I mean, they do know about it and they understand that when Harry brings up the dream or he brings up questions, that was the first rule, right? Which is like, do not question anything. Essentially, they didn't like to answer any of his questions, and they were kind of afraid for these topics right. of magic to come up. Anything that was doing something unnatural, they were very much out on that. So yeah. Now what I wanted to bring up too was the idea that he kept seeing I think there's a part where he is the green light. He kept seeing this green light, and he's associating it with the crash. It was one of the dreams that he has. So
yeah. Let me see. You know, there's sort of a handful of other things here too. We get a little bit about like, okay, you know, Harry's used to spiders because the cupboard under the stairs was full of them, and that's where he slept. Then it kind of goes on to describe Dudley a little bit. And so this chapter definitely makes sort of a comparison between how they treat Dudley compared to how they treat Harry. You know, the only thing that Harry liked very much about his own appearance was a very thin scar on his forehead that was shaped like a bolt of lightning. He had it as long as he could remember. And it's the first question he ever remembers asking his Aunt Petunia is how he got it. In the car crash where your parents died, she said, and don't ask questions. You know, don't ask questions was the first rule for a quiet life with the Dursleys. Uncle Vernon enter the kitchen, you know, and he tells him, comb your hair, right? And then it just kind of goes on after that. And then ultimately we get to Dudley freaking out about how many presents he has. We know we're going to go to the zoo. And then also they have to take Harry because they can't leave Harry with the neighbor, Mrs. Fig. She broke her leg, man.
Broke her leg. God bless her. I love Mrs. Fig, to be honest with you. I think there's something going on there. An informant for Dumbledore, if you will. But yeah, so that chapter. Let me see. I thought I had something else pulled up here too.
Yeah. We could bone Marge, but she hates the boy. And so then we do meet Marge in the next book. So that's a cool little bit of foreshadowing. Well,
yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. A little cool connection for next book. What I thought, so I always try to, you know, the weatherman I thought was funny. I tried to pick something out of each of these chapters that I thought was kind of funny. Petunia and her bacon. Matt, I like a crispy bacon. I just want to say this. I want to burn the bacon. I just don't let the bacon burn. It hit me like a sledgehammer, and I wanted to back up and point that out real quick, that I'm a foodie, Hufflepuff, so I had to make that connection for you guys. I like a nice crispy bacon. And
so you're more shocked on like the medium well. You like the crunchy bacon.
Oh yeah. Major crunch.
On a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being like overcooked, black, like inedible.
Tens, you can't eat it. It's super charred.
10 is inedible. It's too charred. You left it in the oven for an hour. Yeah.
8.5 maybe for me.
So about as close to that as you can get.
Still edible, but as close as you can get.
I go back and forth really. I can start as early as like a 3.
If it's chewy, throw it back in the pan.
I'm fine with it. It's okay. I mean, it has to be like cooked. It can't be like raw, but I can start as early as a 3 and go all the way to 8.5. Yeah.
Gosh. That's good. There's tons of food. I love the food references though there in the series. So I can't wait to kind of talk about those as they come up. But yeah, bacon. Yeah. There we go.
Okay. So ultimately we end up going, we're going to have to go to the zoo, and we pick up Piers Polkiss. Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't believe he goes with them in the movie.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, so he's just there. He's just their friend, right? He's just there as a companion. Rolls with them. He's part of kind of Dudley's gang, right?
A little bit.
One of his buddies. Dudley's the big boss in that gang, if you will. So that's cool. You know, actually,
I was wondering if Piers was one of the people who, but he's not. We don't see. I was wondering if he was perhaps one of the people, you know, when they get attacked and Harry has to save Dudley in like the later obviously much later. When they're attacked in the real world, and Harry has to save them.
Oh yeah, yeah. Let me see here. Yeah, just what in 95. I'm just looking this up real quick. Yeah, during that summer.
There's nothing. Just nothing. It says they're just roaming, bullying children. Yeah. I can't remember. I will say. By the way, it has been, definitely. Oh, it's definitely been a decade since I've reread the books. I read the books twice. But it's definitely been quite a long time. So just the movies.
Yeah.
In more recent years.
Also, it's super funny too. Like Matt and I, our heads are in so many different books. They're in a 14 volume series of Wheel of Time, Heroes of the Horn, Game of Thrones. I'm over in Lord of the Rings. I mean, it's wild. So I love it because I actually enjoy bouncing around like that and just getting into the different series and making the comparisons and getting something different from each series. So this for me is so much fun to dive back in here and to remember some of these things. And as you read back through, you're just sort of like, wow, we watch the movies so much that the movieisms just get you, and to figure out the difference between them is fascinating. And we just, you know, are kind of excited to jump in here. And really, there's things Matt and I have been having these conversations about. We're going to get into all of it with Snape and Dumbledore and decision making and theories. And there's still stuff to be theorized in this series. I love it.
Yeah. Okay, so really the way this chapter really ends, it is also a short chapter, is just, you know, pretty iconic scene, really. We go to the zoo. Next thing we know, Harry's sort of talking, right? The snake winks at him, then the snake gets out. The glass, you know.
Can I tell you something? Disappears. I recently was just in Germany with my Ravenclaw girlfriend. And let me tell you something. I asked her, is there like a zoo with an aquarium / what do you call, like where the reptiles are, all that kind of stuff. And there was, and she was like, let's go. We go there, Matt, the snakes were huge. Yeah. I'm not a snake guy. And you're in there and you're like, you walk up to the building and you say, okay, I know inside of this building are tons of poisonous frogs and snakes and crazy things that could kill us. They're contained in a city. By God, I hope there's a magic enchantment keeping all of it contained, because it's radical. I was leaning up against a glass window or like case with a snake behind me so she could get a picture. And I was just like, you know, don't do anything crazy, baby. Like, I mean, I don't want to fall through here and be sucked into the snake tank. Like, it's just, I don't know. It just, I always liked going to see those, just after I read this. Now, again, now people have different varying thoughts on zoos and all that kind of stuff. I understand that. But I go, like when I go there now, I think of this scene. I think of Harry in talking to the boa, the wink, bred in captivity, get him out of there.
Right.
It's speaking in a different language, snake language.
Right. And it is. Yeah. And it's super interesting because we come back to this, obviously, and then it is incredibly important. Right here first, it's just sort of like, oh, okay, that's kind of interesting.
Oh, whatever,
that's kind of cool. And then it just ends up being like, okay, wow, this is actually one of the most important things, which is one of the things I like as we get into the later books, is it makes some of the events, like especially the end of Chamber of Secrets, which the first time you read it, you're like, okay, this is cool, it's whatever. And then a few books down the line, like, oh my God, Chamber of Secrets is like, it's huge deal, dude. Right? It's huge deal. And so I always thought that was cool. Now, just sort of on a funny note here, in the movie, right, the snake just, you know, Harry's like talking to it, and then it sort of like points at bred in captivity, whatever, and then as it gets ready to leave, it just says thanks. But here it says Brazil, here I come, thanks amigo. I mean couldn't we get that in the movie? I want to hear the snake say thanks amigo.
Who cut the dialogue for the snake in the
how
movie?
Did the hold on, how's here's the real question: how did the snake know the word amigo?
That's a good question.
At a zoo in England.
He's been reading. Really,
can somebody from England tell me if that's a common.
It's just in his cold blood, man.
Amigo, right? Maybe he's heard it. But he was bred in captivity.
Again, Matt, they're not even speaking.
How does the snake know where Brazil is?
First of all, how do we even know that amigo, like it's snake, it's parcel talk. It's a different language. You know, it's just. How did we even know that was the thing that he actually said? I don't know.
So at some point, the snake saw a map or somebody like showed it a globe and then also taught it the word amigo.
it could have been visitors, right? Wearing shirts that said they're from Brazil and they called each other amigos. And
this is a deep seated Harry Potter theory that no one is asking. And we need the answers.
By God, we.
How do. Does this snake know where Brazil is, having been bred in captivity, and know the word amigo? I want to know.
I don't know.
Shoot us an email. What's the email?
You guys can send us an owl, right, at elderwandpod@gmail.com. By the way, on all the corrections, so this will be fun, because I know we have a lot of avid Potter listeners, and we want to bring it on all of it. Send us those owls where for corrections, things we got wrong, things we got right, things we overlooked, all of it, because we will do kind of a response to those in the next several parts as we get them. We kind of bulk record some stuff, so as we get them, we'll talk about them.
Yeah. But. Okay, so let's go ahead and go into chapter 3, The Letters from No One. Dudley gets his new uniform and a letter arrives for Harry with which Uncle Vernon destroys, prompting a deluge of letters over the next few days. Uncle Vernon then attempts to outrun the delivery of the letters and eventually takes his family to an abandoned hut on an island in the ocean. So this chapter is, again, we see it in the movie, goes pretty much the same way. It's just obviously bigger here in the books, but they're starting to get letters here and we don't really get to see any of it. Right. We don't really. And then I think it is sort of a cool way to do it, that it's okay when Hagrid comes in, he kicks down the door in the next chapter. In our next episode, we'll talk about that. We get to learn more about, this is what this letter is. It's from Hogwarts. It's obviously very sort of interesting, but this is, we talked about this just a bit ago. You were talking about them maybe sort of protecting Harry, the look that, and like the imagine getting this letter.
Yeah.
And you'd be shocked. Like, oh my God.
Right. And it's so cool too. I love how the letter is described as very different from the bill or from the postcard. It looks like it's something that would stand out, that is odd. I mean, the Dursleys would probably be embarrassed if this were even seen. Like, they're probably embarrassed that the postman is even like, or whoever, well, I guess it wasn't the postman, right? But I guess as he delivers something to their door, and if that letter is there, like, is that going to look odd, right? Is that a little bit strange? So it's a purple wax seal bearing a coat of arms, a lion, an eagle, a badger, and a snake surrounding a large letter H. So real cool, just kind of cool detail there. Getting our first sort of look at something from Hogwarts and this letter that's coming for Harry. It's addressed to him. What do you think, Matt? How do you think they have the knowledge? I mean, is it the trace that like they know where that he's under the cupboard? Who's been in there spying on the Dursleys?
Right.
Is that an invasion of privacy?
It might be. Okay. it might be. But let me point something out here, because this is interesting, and this is just really just one line, and it's never talked about ever again, and that is, when September came, he would be going off to secondary school, and for the first time in his life, he wouldn't be with Dudley. So they, it sounds like Harry's going to be sent off to sort of boarding school, and he's not going to be living with the Dursleys.
Yeah.
Is that a good idea? Especially after we just saw something earlier this summer, because this is where Harry's punishment all comes from, is obviously it seems like maybe he used magic and they clearly saw something obviously weird happened, and it seemed like they knew what it was or what it could potentially be. And now you're going to go send him off. Is this a good idea?
Yeah. I wonder too, if they knew how much their protection and mattered.
It could just be the school system there and the way it works. I don't know. Yeah. I don't live in England. I don't know if it's like you just go to public school and you come back, but
let me tell you, here in the States, it's K-12, buddy. All right. We all go I'm just kidding. There are other private schools, but, no, it's interesting. He, so, Dudley gets to go to a private school, kind of that Smeltings, right, with his father, where his father went. And Harry's going to go to essentially like the public school. So I actually don't know if they go live there or if he would stay. I know he's away from Dudley. I don't really understand how that works. You know, is he out of the home?
Yeah. I mean, it says the local public school. So maybe not. So maybe Harry wasn't going to be.
But still, the protection, and maybe someone can answer this question for us. So, you know, send us that out again to elderonepod@gmail.com. Like, does the protection, I know it's, again, something that's in Harry's blood. We see at the end of this book, you know, what happens. But, like, the decision to stay with the Dursleys, like, when he's walking around the neighborhood, like, how far, I guess, does it go? You know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the protection, Matt. I've always been a little confused on, like, is it the house they're living with this? I don't really, never quite understood that. So, but also, again, it has been a few years since I've read the series, although I've read it numerous times. I love it. And that's why I'm excited to go back through here and conjure up all the old information.
Yeah. So we're taking Dudley's old uniforms, right, and sort of dyeing it. So maybe that'll fit Harry to wear to his school, right? We pretty quickly move on from that, and then the next thing we know is, boom, we get this letter. It's a letter for Harry. Mr. H. Potter, the cupboard under the stairs, 4 Privet Drive.
Well, hey, Matt, and here's the thing. They say, right, Petunia says, and this, she's looking at the address, how could they possibly know where he sleeps? Watching, spying, might be following us, muttered Uncle Vernon wildly. But what should we do, Vernon? Should we write back, tell them what we want, tell them we don't want, you know, like, she's
right,
whatever, trying to figure this out. They're trying to listen and stuff. So yeah, that's an interesting conversation between those two.
Now, see, right there, that could honestly be, I know it seems, again, these people are super cruel, don't get me wrong, and then it goes on to, we wanted to put an end to all this. I mean, if you're the only thing you really know is that you're, because the only thing you really know is, hey, your sister died, right, from this stuff.
See, I think it's interesting.
In some weird way, they might legitimately be trying to protect him from not having him go there. And again, I know, you know, when you're reading this for the first time, it's all just, they sort of come across as jerks. But once you've really kind of read it and to go back through again and sort of to try to view it, I think, with a little different light, is maybe in some way they were trying to sort of protect him. But then once he starts going, then they're just kind of jerks throughout the rest of the series, really. But at least sort of here initially, I think that you can actually make some arguments for their sort of hesitance that, you know, to let
I can't
him go.
Yeah, I also love, I can't wait for the house to start streaming in on us.
Like, they are just jerks, straight up. How could you not get it? And it's like, well, I'm just, you know.
Hey, we're trying to see the light. All right. Dumbledore he's always encouraging us to see the light and things. Dumbledore does meet up with Petunia later, though. And I think he should have had that sit down many years earlier. Yes. I just want to mention that. And now, so she says this, right? Should we write back? Should we tell them we don't want, and then is cut off? No, he said. No, we'll ignore it. If they don't get an answer, yes, that's best. We won't do anything. Petunia says, but. Right. So she knows something's up. She knows that they're either going to keep sending stuff, they have magical abilities, or she was going to propose something different. Who knows? Right. As you said, it seems like this is Vernon's thing. He set this up, like, no, we swore to this. They've obviously had a discussion about it prior to. Right.
And
what do you do?
And think about this. Immediately, Harry and Dudley should know there's something really up here, because he yells out at both of them. I mean, yeah. He yells out, even Dudley's, get out. And then later he has Dudley go get the mail too, which is, like, you know, something that almost never happened. And so it's like, because then they start arguing who's going to listen to the keyhole. We start, you know, start getting this, as you said. Yes, you know, that's the best. I'm not having one in the house, Petunia. Didn't we swear when we took him in? We stamp out that dangerous nonsense. And so it's not just, oh, it's just nonsense. It's dangerous nonsense. So.
Right. Yeah, dangerous. Yeah, I don't know, man. So it's, Yeah, the owls keep coming, right? So the owls keep coming, and
Vernon gets Dudley's old room.
Yep. More frustrated. Yeah, instantly. That was pretty funny, right? Normally it was Aunt Petunia who came to his little cupboard, and now it's Vernon showing up for like the first time that he could remember to say, hey, you know what? We're going to give you.
And then the letters come and the letters change, and it's no longer the cupboard, it's the bedroom.
Something's up. Magic. Something is up there, my friend.
And then a funny scene here, which I don't think is in the movie, and I think it would have been, right? Because we see like they keep coming, then they come through throughout the whole house or whatever. But the scene where Harry tries to sneak to go get it and he ends up stepping on, you know, Vernon's face. Like that would have been funny. That would have been funny.
Right. Yep. So yeah, each day different amounts, 12, then 24, and they just kind of keep doubling, right? Those letters. To the point where eventually it's too much. Right. And let me see. I got the scene right here. He's got, she held up a letter so they could read the green ink address. Mr. H. Potter, room 17, Ravenview Hotel, Cokeworth. So they're moving around doing the thing. Harry made a grab for the letter, but Uncle Vernon knocked it out of his hand. The woman stared. I'll take them, said Vernon. Standing up quickly and following her from the dining room. Wouldn't it be better to just go home, dear? Petunia says. So this is after they've left, right? He's basically like, we're out of here. And so hours later,
yeah,
it's a mess, man. Like Dudley's even like, daddy's gone mad, hasn't he? Right? That whole line coming into the movie is great, because he has. He's gone crazy. Right.
I mean, is it harassment?
Wow. Who was sending these letters? Do you think they were just having, like, why not just send another one? Why does it have to be so many?
All right.
Does this happen to Matt? Does this happen to other families?
Know, and then let me ask another question here.
Okay.
It's just, again, we're, you know, it's just kind of fun thinking about it like this. So we send him to the Dursley so that he can live a normal life. And we want to give him to their family because they'll, you know, regardless, end of the day, they're still his family. But then it's when the family decides they don't want him to go back into the wizarding world. Well, now they're jerks and we know what's best for him. So what? You're just using these people to benefit you, essentially? I mean, I know obviously there's a spell and all this other stuff. But I mean, it's like, wait, so you gave us this kid that we now have to take care of. And then you're going to take him away and we have to send him away. And you're going to harass us to the point to where we don't. I mean, they get screwed over a little bit here.
Wow.
Just sort of in their defense. Just, I mean, you know, just.
Yeah. It is traumatic though, right? Because there is something that happens in these next couple chapters where Matt's sort of like, okay, there's a line.
All right. There is a line that gets crossed a little bit. Right.
Yeah. Wow. So, I guess, yeah, let's, if you want to skip on down to Hagrid or like the birthday.
So we get some birthday stuff. Yeah, that's kind of interesting. Yeah, Harry's one. So they end up going to the house, right? Vernon's freaking out, man, as he is driving around. He's like trying to shake him off and stuff like that.
Right. Remember when they're trying to start? So once they get, like their little, it was freezing in the boat, icy sea spray. So they hire this boat. They're going to go across. The rain crept down their necks and a chilly wind whipping their face. After what seemed like hours, they reached the rock where Uncle Vernon, slipping and sliding, led the way to the broken down house. The inside was horrible. It smelled strongly of seaweed. The wind whistled through the gaps in the wooden walls, and the fireplace was damp and empty. There were only two rooms. Uncle Vernon's rations turned out to be a bag of chips each and four bananas. He tried to... Wow. A bag of chips and four bananas. That's not bad, Matt. That's a snack between football practice, right? That's...
I guess, but how long are you guys planning on staying there? Just for, it sounds like, well, I guess you'd go to the grocery store or something, but it's like on an island, so we got to get the boat to get
they're going to fish back there. They are fishing. They are going to like,
okay.
Right. So he tried to start a fire, but the empty chip bags just smoked and shriveled up. Now that's an image, right? Imagine him burning up those bags, trying terrible for the environment, by the way, don't do that. But, yeah, could do with some of those letters now, huh? He said cheerfully. He's like happy thinking about it. Like he's so mad he can't start a fire.
And we don't mean mad as in like angry. We mean like he's gone mad.
Gone mad.
Because
to the point where he's He's happy that he can't start a fire, and he's happy thinking, like, not happy that he can't start the fire, but happy at the thought that, boy, it'd be nice to have some of those letters. Like, that's so, I mean, you know, he's trying to get away from them, but now he wants them to burn, you know? What the heck? Crazy.
Right. So, okay. So it ends up, you know, this chapter ends up sort of thinking, going on. Harry keeps thinking about how it's his 11th birthday, and, you know, it's, you just only turn 11 once. It's going to be sort of special. And then it happens. Boom. And we hear somebody knocking at the door.
Yeah. Yep. Pretty cool. Pretty cool kind of setup to this. And again, we haven't even got to any of the Wizarding World stuff. This is the longest, I think, batch where.
Oh, definitely.
With the Dursleys, right? That big, which is good. It's a good setup because now we understand what Harry has to come back to. And that's the whole cycle of this that we're like, you get to the end. And it's like such a crazy, awesome ride and experience. And every year it's like, gosh, dang it. We got
to
go back
to get. I think this is by far definitely. This book takes the longest to get to Hogwarts. I guess to get into the Wizarding World, I guess you could say, because
yeah,
Goblet of Fire's opening is pretty long, I think, to get to Hogwarts, because you have to, you go to stay with Ron and then you go to the Wizard Cup and all, a bunch of that stuff. So
yeah, pretty cool. So again, man, I don't know, that was fun to kind of roll back through. I listened to the chapter a lot, and I need to get the old books back out and actually get them, because we're looking kind of on our screens at just, you know, some PDFs, or I think you've got the Kindle version right over there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I have the audiobooks as well, which are good. Yeah. I really like the audiobooks. Yeah. And if you have the Kindle version and the audiobook, you can listen to it at the same time, and it'll, if you're like reading and then you go back and you want to listen to the audiobook, it'll say, hey, you were here last time. So that's always,
I gotta do that, because I'm a big audiobook person, and
it's great. Yeah, I highly encourage getting both. And there's really cool things about the Kindle version, where if like a lot of people really highlight something, it'll show you and it'll say like, oh, like X amount of people highlighted this. Like for example, in the second chapter, 8,000 people have highlighted the Harry was used to spiders because the cupboard under the stairs was full of them, and that's where he slept. So you can, it'll show you how many people have highlighted it. So I think it's cool, but, I read, this is actually, honest to God, I actually don't really do well reading. I do much, much better with audiobooks.
Yeah.
But just sort of reading, this is I think one of the only book series I've actually ever read, like start to finish. It's like this and Narnia.
Yeah, man. I remember. I don't remember which book. I thought it was the last book that you were
on. No, I was blitzing through a book. So I had read, I read the first book. It took me, because I got into it late. The movies were, I think when I read it, I think Half-Blood Prince was coming out.
Okay.
Was when I first read it. I had seen the first movie a bunch of times.
Yeah.
When it sort of first came out, like on VHS, right?
Yeah,
let's go. And then I didn't really watch any of the other stuff. And I remember everyone was reading it. So I started reading it when the movie of Half-Blood Prince was coming out. And I the first book I read, it took me a little while to sort of get through it. Just didn't get into it. The second book I read in a day, because I just had it like a Saturday. I was like, all right, well, I'll just read it. And I literally read it in a day. And it's a shorter, it's obvious, it's a shorter book. The third one was where I got like hooked.
Yeah.
Prisoner of Azkaban is where I like got like locked in. I just blitzed through the end. I pretty much like Deathly Hallows for me was like a marathon.
Yeah.
I mean, I literally could not like stop reading it.
I can't remember which one it was when I was out there to visit you and you were reading.
It was Prisoners of Azkaban. It was what I was in.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then I moved into Goblet of Fire. I think, you would come out to visit me, and I was just finishing that and going.
And then afterwards, yeah, I knew you had told me later, like you just blitzing through them. I thought that was awesome. Yeah. So here's a quick backup. I read book one in secret, my friend.
I know.
Matt probably, like, so okay, I was, so my middle school was all going to go to watch the movie. And my mom Oh my,
Matt, ain't gonna happen.
Ain't gonna happen. There's a boy speaking to snakes in this book. Now, actually, it's really not what she knew. She didn't know anything about it. She always wanted to read something first, and it was new.
Ezra and I both grew up in very sort of religiously strong households. My mom was the same way. No way.
No witchcraft.
It's evil.
Right.
Now my mom's seen all the movies 100 times. She's like, oh, they're great. I love them. And it's like, okay.
You know? And my mom too. She watched those. She thought they were great. But when it was first coming out,
there was definitely a stigma about it.
You got to get that stamp of approval. I remember that being a thing. I was sitting out in the hallway while the other students like did their Harry Potter stuff. And then I couldn't go watch it. I was that odd kid who couldn't do it. And my mom didn't care. She did not care. She's like, not until I read it or figure out what it is. No way.
You know, you also got to remember, it's so weird thinking about where we're at now too, with like with social media and everything, where it's just, you can sort of like do the and you can Google things at the palm of your hand to sort of see. At that point, you just see the news and they're saying, oh man, there's all this stuff going on. And then the next thing you know, it's like, okay, no, because that's all they see is what the news says. They don't know anything else.
And the thing is, actually, I remember at our high school it was high school years. Different groups started to emerge. People who were into researching stuff about spirituality, witchcraft, and things of that nature. Right. So, you know, it was a thing around our town and stuff. And parents worry about what their kids. I mean, we read some of the classics at high school. I'm a teacher, and we read. I mean, you know, in our English classes, we get letters all the time from people saying my kid's not going to read that book. So. Yeah. You know,
but I remember. I mean, I remember it's so weird too for people who are getting into it now and like sort of you know, because we obviously cover different things. And, you know, we like one of the things we cover is Star Wars. And so it's always so anytime we get to hear anybody who was there in the 70s, like you don't understand the hype. So with Harry Potter is really, you know, is one of the things it's like, man, I remember when those books were coming out. It's like, I don't know. And I was actually having this conversation with one of our good friends, Sir Jimmy, as we call him. He runs a YouTube, the Fantasy Network. He reviews fantasy books. And we were sort of having this debate, and we were arguing about the greatest authors sort of our time, and fantasy authors, and we're talking about, you know, George R. R. Martin and, you know, Brandon Sanderson and all these things. And I said, I was like, I don't know, man, I can make the argument. I was like, in terms of impact, it's like, I cannot ever remember in my life a time in which people lined up at midnight to buy a book.
Yeah.
To buy a book.
I know.
I mean,
I was there
before. This is obviously before Kindles and things like that. But even before that, I do not ever. I mean, the lines to buy the midnight release. I mean, you think like midnight release for video games, like that definitely happens. Everyone, you know, now the thing obviously is to go watch the movies at midnight. But has there ever been another scenario in which you're talking mass amount of people at midnight to get a book? I remember the Deathly Hallows. We were in high school and people skipped school because they were getting Harry Potter. I mean, never, ever in my life have I ever seen anything like that for a book ever.
Yeah. Yeah. It was wild. And at that time I had started to just kind of, I was, you know, secretly read. And then once the movie came out and stuff like that, I was able to get in there and read some, and it was okay. And I got into high school and I was like, I'm doing what I want to do.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You know, but I remember that being such a thing when Half-Blood Prince came out and then Deathly Hallows. I was like, everyone was lining up and it was like, who are you going with? Like, where are you going to go get it at? It was just crazy. I thought
it was insane. It was crazy. Never for a book. I honest to God cannot think. I don't know if there ever has been. I mean, that was the hype surrounding it was crazy.
Right. So I think it's been an impactful thing. You've got the movies are awesome, right? They are.
Yeah, they're great.
Like the crazy, we talk a lot about the Lord of the Rings movies and that Lord of the Rings series and stuff. But Matt, those movies. So the Lord of the Rings book, the series comes out years ago. Tolkien wrote The Hobbit in what, 1930 something. Right. I don't even know. And so then films come out way, 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 way later. That thing had a fandom already built up for it. So the films are amazing for Lord of the Rings. They're one of you've often said, probably the best trilogy ever done. But when you look at the Harry Potter films coming out along with this, there's a pressure
at the same time. Yeah.
Yeah. To finish this series. She does. Yeah. And it's also a really, really good batch of movies. We love the cast. Like it's, the writing, the screenwriting, all it's just so freaking good.
Yeah, it's great. It's absolutely great. You know, it has, and I think we should continue. I think we should continue this conversation because I think we're both hyped about it in our extended edition.
Yeah. Yes, we should. Yeah, we have a couple things we want to talk about in there, so we'll continue the hype over there. Basically, friends, if you're on Apple Podcast, you can dive in there. Basically, you just got to look at the subscribe button to subscribe to Apple Podcast, and you can check out the extra episode where we're going to have sort of it's where we bring on different folks. We talk to them. Right. We also do some different topics. We're going to talk about the secrets of Dumbledore. Really cool stuff. But we'll do that in between each of these as you know, just an extra episode that you guys can gain access to. And it helps Matt and I and all of our podcasting sort of endeavors right. with the show and all that good stuff. You get access, I believe, Matt, to all of the other stuff yes. that we do.
Yeah. So exactly. Podcast. So yeah, yeah, there'll be Apple Podcasts. We'll have a Patreon. But if you go the Apple Podcast route, you get access to the extra content from our other shows as well. Hyperspace Hangout, a Star Wars podcast, Bend the Knee, A Song of Ice and Fire, Game of Thrones, upcoming House of Dragons content, Wheel of Time content, which a TV show is coming out for it here shortly. So, yeah, if you go that route, it's super cool as well. And we'll have some other, as we roll it out, Patreon tiers as well, if you want to go that route as well. So, but yeah, we'll definitely continue that over on our extended edition. So with that, this has been great. First episode, super excited, man. I love diving back into this, and we're just going to keep it running because we're having a lot of fun here. So just remember, with part two coming up, we'll be diving into, you know, some more chapters here. So we want to thank you for using the flu to hang out with us. In our next episode, we will be discussing Sorcerer's Stone, or Philosopher's Stone for those of you in Europe, right? Which will be part yeah. two, chapters 4-6.
Absolutely. If you like our podcast, don't forget to subscribe, like us, write a review, leave us a comment, or send us that owl at elderwandpod@gmail.com.
We will see you soon, and remember to have wands at the ready.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.